I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Suggest you shut up and show more football.
Come on, come on. Figure. We've done that thing. Can we not knock it?
I am flabbergasted. I wouldn't even let him on the bus after the match. I get a taxi back to Manchester.
Again, please don't call me arrogant because what I'm saying is true. I think I'm a special one.
When the seagulls follow the trawler, it's because they sink sardines. Will be thrown into the sea. Thank you.
I understand what I'm trying to get at. Yes, he was a great player. Yes, he was a wonderful leader. But he wasn't a magician.
Well, take him out, son. I mean that. Take him.
Wherever you are in the world, thank you for joining us.
Yes. Any idea where Nigel lives in the world?
No. Actually.
DJ, if you're out there, give us a shout, fella.
That was a more general welcome, and I wasn't specifically thinking of him, but you're absolutely right. Nigel de Jong, wherever you are in the world, and I think it's Boston. Where is Harvard University? Boston?
Harvard, I thought was... Is it not? New York? Harvard. No, is it Boston?
I think it's Boston. I think that's where I last had...
Communication
with him, yeah.
Okay.
He's on a sports management course.
Oh, excellent.
Rather than being...
He wants to be
Edwin van der Sar.
So he wants to be sacking managers, not being one.
Correct.
Ah, good lad.
Yeah.
Clever night.
If this goes on, he'll be sacked from the podcast.
Yes.
Let me tell you that straight away. Anyway, very pleased that you could join us. New listeners are all the time. Now that you found us, do please tell your mates. There's a whole catalogue, a wonderful library of podcasts that you can visit. Martin O'Neill, Patrick Clivett, Gianfranco. Platy, they're all there. Dwight York, loads of stuff.
Excellent.
So you can keep yourself busy. I mean, we must be approaching, I don't know, a full year's worth now.
Nearly, very close to.
I am Richard Keys.
And we haven't been shut down yet, so things are looking up.
And you are?
Oh, I'm Andy Gray.
Just to keep it
official,
yes. Yeah, the podcast absolutely. Is available across all platforms. Give us a follow and subscribe. Social media-wise, we can be found on both Twitter and Insta at Keys and Grey Pod, A-N-D, Keys and Grey Pod. Right, I have an announcement to make.
Oh, goodness. See, I was worried about this on a Friday. This is always my worry.
I have an announcement to make, and I'm very proud of myself.
Oh,
I am no longer a virgin.
What?
Yeah.
What?
This week...
Yeah, go on.
I travelled the Doha Metro.
No!
Yes.
What was it like?
Brilliant.
Where from to through? Where to where?
I went from... Just outside of the tower here. Leg de Fier.
Oh, Qatara?
Leg de Fier.
All right,
just one over by... Look, how exciting is that?
All right.
That's me at the front of the train.
Right.
Eh?
Very good, sir.
Is that good?
That's very good.
Look, here we come into a platform. All very secure. You can't just step off a platform onto the tracks. There's security and...
I see that. Yeah, very good. Well, it should be state there, shouldn't it?
Yeah. No driver, you see. I sat in the driver's seat. So I was really pleased with myself.
Sat in the driver's seat.
Honestly, it's really good.
What's been handy this week with the Arab Cup? Yeah.
See, I joined the Gold Club.
I was going to say, that looks like a first-class seat.
Yes, it is. I joined the Gold Club. There we are, look.
How's that going to be when... Hundreds of thousands are trying to get in the game.
See, when you get to the platform, it splits you up into standard,
right?
Family,
right?
Gold. So I joined the Gold Club for 100 riyals.
Of course you did.
Standard? No way you're getting anywhere near standard.
I joined the Gold Club. It's 10 reals a journey if you're in gold. But the good news was, when I joined, I get 10 free journeys. So my first two journeys this week were for free.
Oh, brilliant. So where did you go?
I went from there to...
Alcor?
Alwakra? Shopping mall. Villaggio.
Oh, right.
So I went through Sharib.
Aye.
Changed. And then headed
up
out
to
all the way to...
Villaggio.
The only problem I can see...
Yes.
...is that a lot of the stations don't come out near the stadiums.
I know. I have noticed that.
And I am told, and this is Arab Cup travellers who have told me this, yes, that arriving at the station to then board a bus...
Correct.
...to be transported to the arena is frustrating and time-consuming. Uh-huh. And when you've got tens of thousands, as we're going to have at Qatar 2022, mm-hmm, I think that could become something of a nuisance.
It could be.
So I don't.
Yes, because people would expect, who have not living in the country, people would expect if they get on the subway, the underground, whatever you want to call it, and
the
they arrive
metro,
at a destination,
let's call it the metro.
They arrive on the metro and they arrive at the said destination where the football ground is allegedly. They would expect to walk off of that and basically have 100 yards, 200 yards, 300 yard maximum stroll.
And in the interests of fairness, there are places where that is the case.
Yes, there are.
But there are others where it isn't. Mm. And I don't understand, bearing in mind it's a brand new network, why they just haven't ploughed on to these arenas and brought stations up a little bit closer.
Well, I'm sure that the buses will be in their thousands, and obviously they'll be free. It'll be free transport.
Yeah, it's a hassle, isn't it?
It is a hassle for the fan.
It's a hassle.
Yeah, it is a hassle.
It came as a bit of a surprise to me. But the network itself is fabulous. The trains are absolutely beautiful.
Formed of three or six, were you?
Well, that's the other problem. You see, the what I just showed you there, pulling into a platform, I think we were formed of three.
Right.
And I don't think that six is going to get in.
Well, they'll have to, because they're doubling them up, aren't they?
Yeah. You also, I think, need to know... You see, when we started travelling on the train, when you stayed with me for the first...
Yeah,
I don't know how many weeks it was, two or three or four weeks when we started at Talk Sport.
Yes.
I always used to have the drain pipe to stand on, didn't I?
Uh-huh.
At Woking Station. And I knew the drain pipe would deliver me a door.
Door, I know.
And I knew that door would deliver me an escalator when I got the other end. And regular train... Luis, our technician, is looking bemused. Regular train travellers know this. They know where they get on and off. So I think if you're regular on the metro, you'll know exactly what you want and when and where. But that's the only thing I see. But the communication on board is very good. Instructions very good. Beautiful, beautiful stations, as you would expect.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're all brand new.
Exactly. Oh, well done, son.
A word of warning.
Oh,
there is a phantom towel flinger working the Pearl at the moment.
Yeah, well, I'm not happy, I have to say. I put my towels out this morning.
He hasn't caught you, has he?
Yeah, he's caught me.
You're joking.
It's what? Honestly.
You put your towels out this morning.
Well, because we were doing the podcast, right, and Rachel and her dad, Alan, have just arrived in the country, haven't they, to spend Christmas and New Year with
this
me.
So good.
It's good to have a bit of company. So Rachel has been at a meeting today, and then so she said to me, would you put the towels down before you go? So I thought,
which being a Brit, you will have objected to many times when travelling abroad.
Yes, but
and the Germans have done it.
Yeah, but that's different.
So you would never compromise
your
aggression and belief on that.
No, no. So I put the towels down.
No, it's not different.
It is different. This is my home.
Yes.
So I'm allowed to put towels down.
No.
I am. It says that in the sales. What is it called? The articles of rental.
So you put your towels.
So I put my three towels down about 9 o'clock this morning.
Right.
And I thought, lovely.
So you made the effort to get up.
Yes.
Put your gear on.
Yeah.
Get downstairs.
Yes.
Lay your towels out on the best beds.
And I thought, that's me.
That's very selfish.
Rachel and her dad would be very happy with that.
Yeah.
And I went back upstairs to the bed. There's not a puff of wind anywhere. Right.
Right.
If you lit a match, it wouldn't blow out. Okay. So about half an hour later, I glanced down from my 20th floor down to the pool, and I see two of my towels lying on the ground. And I thought, how the hell did they get there? There's not a puff of wind out there. And these are quite heavy towels. So I thought, well, looks like that. I get my gear on again. I'm straight downstairs. Not only are they not on the bed, they are absolutely soaking wet.
There you go. Justice.
They are drenched.
Good.
So I don't know if someone's tossed them in the pool.
Of course they have.
Because they were nasty. And I'm stood there looking around thinking, where is he? Where is he? Fucking, where is he? So I put my towels back on the bed, but they were so wet that they were going to wet the bedding on the bed. So I've had to just leave them off, hoping that the sun will dry them. So I'm not happy. Somebody nicked my towels and chucked them in the water today.
Well, it serves you right. No. That would be my view.
I can't believe it.
Oh, our guest today, by the way, you are really going to want to share stories, yes, memories, and thoughts with. But by the way, did you see Simon Jordan this week? Had a little pop at Red Nev.
Oh, Gary Neville?
Yeah, he did. It was quite funny.
What was it this
Gary, time? Of course, is a great advocate with Tracy Crouch of an independent regulator in football.
Of course he is.
And Simon and many others, and I'm one of them, don't see the sense in this.
Not me.
Because it's as manipulative, or it is open to be manipulated.
Correct.
As any other system. Martin Samuel today in the Mail, who occasionally... Yeah. And that's the whole idea of a columnist. You will agree weeks. And
yeah, I read Sammy today. I agree with quite a lot.
Let's get one thing
said.
Straight. And I want to read all of this. Let's get one thing straight. He says, not only would the Saudi Arabian takeover have gone through under a government regulator for football, it would have been passed a damn sight quicker than the 18 months it took the Premier League to become convinced. And there he's absolutely right. MPs were appalled by this thought when Tracy Crouch, who headed up the famed fan-led review, sat before them this week, but face facts. We know the back-channeling that was going on in the highest political circles. True. Absolutely 100%. And all for Crouch's talk of independence, we know from experience that the government appointments and the regulator would be one. Do not tend to be mavericks, wild cards, or greatly troublesome. The government wants to stay in with our Saudi allies more desperately than anyone, and the Saudis have many friends in high places here. Saudi ambassador to the United Kingdom since 2019 is Khalid bin Bandar al-Saud. He was educated at Eton and Oxford, like Boris Johnson, and graduated as a commissioned officer from Sandhurst. He's married to Lucy Caroline Cuthbert, daughter of John Aidan Cuthbert of Beaufort Castle, Hexham, and Lady Victoria Lucy Diana, daughter of Hugh Percy, 10th Duke of Northumberland, and niece of Ralph Percy, the 12th Duke of Northumberland. So let's not pretend.
No.
He's absolutely right.
100%. I read that this morning.
A regulator would not be independent, is not independent.
Of course it's not.
And I'm sorry... it would, like I say, I repeat, be open to far more abuse.
In layman's terms,
the
you're far more intelligent about these things than I am. But in layman's terms,
as a regulator saying,
you guys that run these multi-billion-dollar empires, Manchester United, Liverpool, Chelsea, Manchester City, and the rest, lower down as well,
you're not capable of
making the right decisions all the time. For neither your club or football.
Correct.
So we will make them for you.
That's right.
Well, that's nonsense.
And I include Salford, as Simon did. Because
Gary's
of course,
team.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if the highest payers, the biggest budget in League Two, and they sacked more managers than probably any other club at that level in recent years. So I'm really strongly against. I don't like the idea at all. For a third time, say I think it's open to far more abuse, Andy, than the current system that we have. Just in closing, a regulator, I'm thinking about what you're saying.
Yeah.
Let's say, what would they be looking for in a perfect world? Local businessman.
Sorry.
No, hold on. Follow me. Local businessman.
Yes.
Supporter of the club.
Jack Walker.
No. Supporter of the club. Lots of money.
Yeah.
And community care... prerequisite, absolute must. Somebody like Mel Morris at Derby County.
Oh. Who's no longer?
Who's no longer there. His club are bottom of the Championship with 1 point as a result of various irregularities and having slipped into administration. Mm. They're a blink of an eye away from closure.
They are.
So what's the perfect owner of a football club then?
No. Well, there is one. There isn't one, is there?
No. It's nonsense.
No.
Best headline this week, Daily Mirror. I love the Mirror. They've got some terrific sub-editors and headline writers. After Manchester United's draw this week, kids won, boys won.
That's quite good. Sometimes they can be quite good, can't they? They make you chuckle.
How clever is that?
I like that. Very good.
Very good indeed.
Very good.
I think it's time for us to talk with our guest this week, Andy. Mickey Thomas. Mm. Now, let's get this straight. Not it's up for grabs now. Mickey Thomas, scorer of Arsenal's second at Anfield.
Yeah.
The original Mickey Thomas.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Who I played against many times.
Did you really? Mm,
yeah. When he was at
you
United.
Must have done. You must
well,
have
I came
done,
to United. I came to England in 75. Mickey was at United from 78. So, yeah.
Recently been through a serious health scare.
Yeah.
Better, I hope.
Good.
I mean, a really interesting career. I first met him when he was one of the original Magnificent Seven at Goodison.
Wow.
Having left Manchester United.
He would be one I didn't get. I probably got the other six, but I wouldn't have got Mickey.
Mickey was one of the first, and I remember going to see him in the Holiday Inn to interview when he joined. And you remember in those days in the pubs, they used to have these big Space Invader machines?
Yes, yes, of course I do.
I've never seen anybody play a machine
like him.
Like him. I don't know if he still can, but my goodness. It unfortunately ended in tears quite quickly because he refused to play in a reserve game. And I believe Howard cancelled his contract before allowing him to move to Chelsea. We'll get the details in just a moment. But that in itself led to a whole host of scrapes for Mickey.
Yeah.
I also think he, the legend has it, and here's an opportunity to check, that as you come out of Manchester on the elevated section of the road to Old Trafford, police used to sit at the bottom end of that because as you come down, you're naturally going to gather speed. So we're going back to the 70s, early 80s here, aren't we? You're going to gather speed coming off that.
Yeah.
They'd sit at the bottom, nick in for speeding, and then say, well, okay, have you got a couple of tickets for the game today? Yeah, all right. Now, I don't know how true that is either.
It could be. But we're about to find us.
So let's say good morning to our guest today, Mickey Thomas. Mickey, how are you, my friend?
I'm very good. I've had a tough 18 months, but I'm on the road to recovery now. And as I said, it's been a tough time for me, but I'm in a good place now.
I have been following closely, and thus the timing of this call, because I think you got the all clear last week, as recently as that. The problem for those that don't know, Mickey, was what?
Well, I did a topsis, which is a very, very a bad cancer to get because what happened was I was ill for a year, going to the doctors and saying that you were fine, my blood samples were fine, you're fit. Unfortunately, they didn't give me the right diagnosis for it because they didn't have any idea. I went private to a hospital with Joey Jones, my best friend. He came with me. I thought I had a camera down my throat, so... as this woman walked past the door where me and Joey were sitting in the room, I said, oh, you did really well there. So I said to Joey, you can go home now, it's fine. Not thinking anything was wrong with me. Well, within 4 minutes or 5 minutes, three people come in and they don't look too happy. And I said, how did it go? He said, unfortunately, we couldn't get the camera down yet. I said, pardon? He said, unfortunately, I said, I'm a very experienced, obviously, doctor. You have a very large tumour. He said, it doesn't look very good to you. It's bleeding. And my next words were, I said, how long have I got to live? He said, I don't know. He said, but we have to get you in now. We have to try and obviously look inside and see whether we can save you. So I was obviously there in that room on my own. And I haven't phoned my daughter, my son's obviously going to know I've gone for this test. And they're phoning me. I can't answer the phone because I'm panicking. I've just been given the worst news possible. I'm in shock. So... obviously, they said, listen, we'll obviously have to stay here for a bit. You know, you can't drive home one because you're still in shock. So I phoned Joey and I said, Joe, I said, this is, I've got a bad condition, a really bad cancer. And so the next day I went into Wrexham Hospital and Andy and to you, Richard, you know, about life. I've been a football happy-go-lucky, never known about the real world. Yeah. And I walked into this hospital and I'm thinking, oh my God, this is the real world. I never knew about this. Mm. You know, you see young kids and that, they're dying of cancer and that. So I've gone in and I spoke to the guy who's a specialist at this operation, Dr. Baker. He said, listen, he said, you know, out of this, 100 people, he said, only 50% would make it. He said, but we believe your fitness will get you through this operation. And that, so, you know, we are going to give you chemotherapy for 9 weeks. It's going to be 18 weeks to try and shrink it because it is a very large tumour. So they said, but we will have to operate to save your life. We will have to operate. And so, and that was it. So that was the first 24 hours, devastating news.
Wow.
Wow. It does rather stop you in your tracks just listening to the story, Mickey. So from there, quite a bumpy ride for how long?
Well, it was a bumpy ride for until the operation. You know, they had to delay the operation because the tumour was that big. They had to try and shrink it. So I was, you know, in hospital every day getting chemotherapy for 9 weeks. that I came out of that, and they said, unfortunately, this chemo hasn't done any damage to it. They said, you know, we will have to operate now. And obviously, I'm in shock, and I said, operate, we have to operate, Mickey. He said, you know, otherwise you're going to die. We're going to give you a chance. So that was it. So I had to have that operation. I won't forget the day, because as I drove to the hospital from where I live in North Wales, I'm looking back at the scene. I think, am I coming back? Because I know they're going to put me in a reduced coma for 3 or 4 days, obviously, because of the size of the operation to stabilise me. So I've gone into the operator, and they came up more. I said, listen, I've not been able to drink water. He said, Mickey, that's why we are operating you today. He said, you know, otherwise you're not going to be alive any longer. So as I'm walking down there, I'm thinking to myself, what the hell, am I going to come out of it? And then the guy that puts the thing on your face to put you to sleep, he goes, don't worry, he said, I'm a Liverpool fan. I said, oh my God.
Shit, you said no.
Oh my God.
And I thought it couldn't get any worse, you said.
I thought, oh my God.
Mickey, did I read that you were with Robbo when this first came to light in Hong Kong?
Well, yeah, I was in Bangkok on a Man United thing with DHL doing a celebrity golf thing. It was five of us, and Robbo had been through this process of having cancer, and I had been while, as I said, for nearly 12 months. And as I was eating, I kept going to the toilet. I wasn't sick. It was like bio, like sticky stuff. It was quite unusual. It wasn't sick, but it kept, every time I had to go to the toilet and be sick. But it wasn't, like I said, normal sick. It was like sticky stuff. So I came back, and Robert was, listen, and it scared me. He went, listen, when you get home, he said, you've got to go and see someone. He said, there's something wrong with you. And I looked at him, and he scared me. I thought, oh my God. And I did, and I listened to his advice. So when I flew back home and that, within 24 hours, I've got an appointment in a private clinic. And that's when, you know, he was proven right. There was something really bad in me. So really, he probably saved my life by saying, you better go now. Because any longer, I might not be here.
No, that's true.
To return to where we started, the all clear last week, but what does that mean?
It means at this moment in time, there's no cancer circulating in my body. But as you well know, it can come back. And that's, you know, I spoke to someone who Andy knows, and you know very well. I won't name his name. But I was at a game a few weeks at United, and he said to me, great news, Mickey, about, you know, you're doing well, like you look really well, etc. And he said, my daughter had cancer. And he said, she was fine. Before he finished, I said, oh, that's great news. He said, oh, no, Mickey, you don't understand. This is what I didn't want to hear from him. Yeah. He goes, unfortunately, said, it came back within 2 months and killed her. And it was exactly what I had. And I didn't say nothing to him, because, you know, like a bit of a hero, and Andy will know. And I looked at him, I said, oh, okay. And I went home, and I was in shock. I thought, oh, my God. So any little pain I get inside my body, which, I get worried about. So it's put me back, and it put me back into the mode where I'm thinking it's coming back. And I'm desperate now for this scan, which was last week, of course. So anything like that can obviously throw you back a little bit in the wrong way.
Well,
stay positive, fella. Yeah, that's all you can do in it, really.
And I think they were right in the outset, Mickey, that your strength of mind and fitness helped you through, and thank goodness for that.
Absolutely.
The woman that put the camera inside my body, guys, was I seen her about a month after. She said, can I have a word? I go, yes. She was the one with the surgeon in the operating theatre. She said, when I put that camera in your body, she said, I'm going to tell you exactly how it was. She said, you have a unique inside body. She said, I've never seen anything like it. Normally, when I put the camera in someone's body, I have to fight through the fat. She said, you didn't have not one ounce of fat. She said, that really helped you. So my fitness over the years, guys, you well know, I could run all day.
Yeah,
you know, I was running half the time, but I could run all day.
Yeah.
So that saved me. That helped me greatly. So I've made up with that.
Just this may be an insensitive question, Mickey, but when you got to that private hospital, you weren't trying to pay with those £9 and £19 notes.
No, because I stopped doing them. I've done it to euros and that. So I started doing them. So that was
got into euros.
was. Yeah, so I couldn't. No, but yeah, I just said, you know, I have a laugh about that. But yeah, I mean, they were brilliant, as I said. And, you know, I've had a laugh about that, of course, I do in my life. And that is just the way life is. You got to go on and move on to the next thing, isn't it? But yeah. As I said,
I think that attitude has served you well down the years, my friend.
Absolutely.
Can I ask, how did your career ultimately end, and who ended it?
Who ended it? Well, I started off at Wrexham and I finished at Wrexham. I wanted to go out with a bang. Unfortunately, it was a cell door. I had to go out of the game. So, yeah. So, yeah, I, of course, I had to retire. I had no choice. I mean, obviously, the judge in Warrington Crown Court obviously put an end to my career. That's what it was. But I was going on 30. I was coming to the end of my career, such as you said. You know, you want to play as long as you can. But as you well know, guys, you know about football inside out. Sometimes you have to say
enough. By the way,
enough,
anyway. You were getting seriously greedy about wanting to play as long as you can. What was it, 20 years? 72, 92, something like that.
Well, that's because he could run all day. It was a will of the wisp, wasn't it?
That's downright greedy. Yeah, when you come to an end.
But what Andy didn't know, though, Mickey, was that you were one of the magnificent seven. I mean, not
yeah,
for
I
long,
got
but...
shot early on, though. I got shot in on the magnificent seven. He died one by one. I was the first one to get shot.
I could have named the other six probably, Mickey, but I never have put you in that. Magnificent, never, never.
No, I wasn't there long enough, was I? Obviously,
that was probably,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, you see, I was saying, Mickey, I remember you very well from this period of time, but there are a number of stories that I do need to check. I read also that the contract was cancelled, but that wasn't the case, was it? He just shipped you out to Brighton, Howard.
Sorry, Richard, I didn't quite hear that.
I say that when you left Everton, your contract wasn't actually...
I went to Brighton, yeah. But I know, but it was wrong. I thought it was New Brighton just down the road. I didn't realise it was about 7 hours in the car, you know. It was... You know, what I did was wrong, but, you know, I sat in the sauna place at Belfield with Colin Harvey after Howard told me, and obviously Colin knew, and I sat there, and Colin Harvey said to me, and I'll never forget what he said, he goes... You know what? He goes, I admire you. And I looked at him. I said, what do you mean you admire me? Because what you're doing is wrong, but you believe it's right what you're doing. And you stick to your principles. So I admire you for that. I said, yeah, that's great. I said, I thought it was very nice of him that. I said, but unfortunately, I said, Colin, there's a private jet at Speak Airport. I'm going to get on in about the next couple of hours. So I won't be coming back here. I had no intention of signing for Brighton and Hove Albion Football Club. And let me tell you how. You probably understand what I'm going to say is that I'm on a private jet going down to Brighton. I landed
big time,
at Gatwick
Mickey, in those days.
Big time
very
in those
big
days.
Time.
Private
well,
jet.
Yeah, I mean, you know, yeah.
Well, it was probably a twin-engine prop then, a private jet back then.
Well, the chairman was a very wealthy chairman, so I landed at Gatwick Airport and got met by Jimmy Melia. Do you remember Jimmy?
Yes,
Melia,
absolutely.
Liverpool, so... He took me to the hotel and that, and so I'm now with my missus and I'm sitting there. And so we have a meal booked for 8 o'clock at night. So I've gone down there and I'm sat there and they're saying that Mike Bailey was a manager, former Wolves player. He desperately signed me. So I'm sitting there and they're talking over a deal about signing me. And, you know, I'm not the most cleverest of people. And they're saying, look, we'll give you 20 grand, we'll give you 30 grand. And I said, listen, I'm not interested in the money. I said, I'm going to go back to Everton and prove Everton wrong. So it got to about 10 o'clock and I said, excuse me, I need to go for a wee and that. So I've gone to the toilet and I'm coming out the toilet. And in the hotel, they had a TV on the wall, a massive TV. On that TV is Midweek Sports Special. And the headlines was, Mickey Thomas has signed for Brighton and Hove Albion for £500,000. I thought... I haven't signed, but 4 and a half bottles of wine later, I did. Yes, sign. So yeah. So I know, and I woke up in the morning. This is true, and I thought, what have I done? I've gone into the manager's office the next day, and all the pressure. And I said, listen, I need to pull you to one side. So don't forget, Mike Bailey is a big, strong individual.
He
like
is
really
big barrel chest.
So
I wouldn't mess with him.
Yeah, no. I've said to him, I'm not playing. But he said, what do you mean? You just signed? I said, no, you got me drunk last night. I said, I didn't even know I'm
signed. You got me pissed. You made me sign.
So, It was a downfall for him, because what happened in the next 10 months of that contract, which I had a very good contract, is that I was flying home on a business, Caledonia, had a deal that I could fly home, because if you drive, it takes you about 8 hours, maybe longer. So I was flying home on that, and I wasn't interested in playing for Brighton. I felt horribly about doing it, but the one person was there, was a little guy who was, I think, the secretary, who said to that night, let Mickey have a think, he's not sure leaving, let him. But no, they rushed me into it. I signed it, didn't want to sign. I played 20 games for that club. I scored one goal that banged me in the head by accident, went in the back of the net.
Oh, it's quite good average.
Andy, honestly, I caused him. I wasn't turning up. I went missing for a fortnight. I went to Marbella for a fortnight. I came back, and the players have just finished training. So I jumped in the bath with the players, and the assistant manager comes in and goes, hey, Mickey said, the manager wants to see. I said, what's his name? I forgot, what's his name? And he goes, you little Welsh git. He said, get in that office now. So that was it. So I felt sorry for Mike Bailey, because I let him down, but it wasn't me that really wanted to let him down. I think it was them pushing me to something that
quite
I didn't
right.
want
it was
to
four
do.
Bottles of Wayne's fault. Right. That's
yeah,
what it was.
That's what it was. But you, even when you were playing for Chelsea, you and Joey, you'd still both of you drive home, wouldn't you?
Well,
and home's Wrexham.
Yeah, I lived in...
What, every weekend?
No, College weekend, Day. Virtually yeah. every day.
No,
we did, and this is quite extraordinary, because no one would believe it, but in those days, there were no cameras on the motorway, so I could do what I wanted to do. So, if you can understand, this is our daily routine. On a Monday, we would get it. I get up about 4:30. I get to Joey's for about 5:30. Then we drive to London training ground, Harlington, by Heathrow Airport. And we get there roughly about 10:15 before training would commence at 10:30. And when training had finished at 12:30, we looked at each other and said, yeah, let's go back home. And we drive back home. And we would do that on a regular basis.
Wow.
And people go on. When we did stay, as you well know, guys, London is very, very expensive. We weren't earning the money like they are in today's game. You know, so we really couldn't afford to stay in a top hotel, which would take most of our wages. So we used to stay in a place with about 200 to 300 yards away from the ground, like a hostel for the homeless. We used to stay there. They used to cost about 20 quid. Yeah, yeah. Honestly, yeah. Real rough. Yeah, you ask Joey, real rough.
How many
there sometimes.
How many
and
times?
And then when we didn't...
I was going to say, how many times did you actually stay at Stamford Bridge? And when you did
were you
alone?
Yeah. No, I wasn't, no. I mean, I stayed at Stamford Bridge on a few occasions. And
when you say stayed at Stamford Bridge, where?
At the ground.
When Joey stayed.
The hotel wasn't there then?
No. At the ground.
We slept rough. Is that what you're saying, Mickey?
Yes, we slept in the dressing room a few times. I didn't sleep on my own, of course. I always had someone with me. But, you know, and then I play a bit of football. I play a bit of football with them on the pitch and score a goal, a bit of a dribble and score a goal. So, listen, guys, in today's modern game, you can't get away with anything. But in our day, actually,
Mickey.
You know, you couldn't really... And that was a normal. You went like trapped in a thing where you weren't allowed out. No one really paid attention. No, nowadays they've got cameras everywhere. You can't do nothing.
Imagine the groundsman these days going into the dressing room in the morning, opening the door, and there's Mason Mount lying on the bench having a kip.
One other myth or fact. How many times did you get nicked for speeding travelling to Old Trafford and have to hand over tickets to policemen for the game?
Well, they wouldn't take my money, so I was fine. They said, oh, no, you're not taking your money. You can just get... No, I mean, I've got loads of tickets and that. I mean, nowadays it's impossible. And that was a different era, as you well know, guys. It was different, totally, completely different from the world we live in today.
But the story I heard was it was a regular occurrence. Did you not think about perhaps slowing down when approaching the ground rather than keep getting nicked for speeding and have to hand tickets over?
Yeah. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Yeah, I understand. That's the way life was in those days. I mean, I get well recognised anyway, so I got off quite a few times, you know what I mean? So I was quite lucky in that respect. They give me a warning, you know what I mean? Play better on Saturday and let you off, sort of thing. So,
yeah. Can I ask you, I mean, it seems strange what you ask us, but did you get out of football everything you wanted?
Out of football, everything
yeah.
I wanted?
Yeah.
Andy, I'll say this to you, and you'll understand what I'm saying. As a young kid growing up, you don't know where you're going.
No.
You want to be a footballer, and you get that opportunity. And this is why I always say, we live in a, well, I think even maybe in today's game, you live in a false world where, you know, everything is done for you. I never knew how to book holiday when I finished football. Everything is done for you, you know, and, you know, you're getting money, you know, not, you know, probably better money in our day than what most people were getting, but not like it is today.
No.
But, so, you know, I think I got out of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I spoke to Kevin Rapp, you know, we came over and like in Sharpie and up the scene when I was ill. Mm-hmm. And I was walking along the seafront with Kevin and I never really won anything. I never stayed that long enough to win anything. That was my personality and that's the way I wasn't. You know, I did it my way, sort of thing. I wasn't that disruptive. I from the heart. You know, we're all different, and we all got strengths and weaknesses, and that. I wasn't the most confident when I started off. I know when I went to Man United, that nearly ruined me because I couldn't handle the pressure playing in front of 58,000. But in my era, I couldn't go in the dressing and say, "Oh, I'm a bit scared and a bit nervous." They would have laughed at me because in that
you
era,
got chewed up when you
physical,
you got chewed
you know.
Up.
Yeah, so. And that's why I do a lot of commentary, I do a lot of work for Man United, and I understand now about players sometimes, because when you're on that pitch, you go across that white line, people think you're inhuman. You know, you all have your problems, you all have different things, and no one really knows that. And with social media being as powerful as it is today, you know, it can have even more effect because people are so aggressively towards you. You know, you can't, like, everyone doesn't like you, so... You know, it's probably a lot more difficult, even more today, with the way the social media is.
Yeah, I get that. And I say that constantly, Mickey. Fans tend to look at a 1 to 11 or whatever it is these days, a 23
well,
to
yeah,
72,
one to,
and they go,
1 to 66.
Well, that's our best 11, we should win. But everybody is an individual and everybody's carrying an issue, aren't they?
Yeah.
Well, Richard, without question, that's why, you know, I had my problems and I didn't confine in. I didn't have anyone to confine in about. I felt the pressure. You know, I had 110 games, 15 goals for my side. But, you know, I remember Lou McCoy doing Match of the Day when I played for Wales. After the game on Match of the Day, I didn't see it for a few months after. And Lou McCoy said, you know, Mickey Thomas is a completely different player when he plays for Wales. Because I had that confidence, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and
get it.
You know,
I get it,
no
Mickey,
matter what you say, Andy, or Richard, about whether I didn't win anything, if ever I became available on the market, everyone wanted to sign me. You know, because I had a good left foot, and you know, I had some great, you know, respect from people.
Yeah.
You know, like Brazil, we played Brazil. The Brazil man said that number 10. He said he can get in my team. He said he's the best player on the pitch today. And then I had a Spain manager, German manager. You know, I got man to man marked by Yuri Stielicker, one of the best players in the world for Germany. They put him on me. So you know, I had some respect along the way because I was crazy and mad. People didn't take me seriously enough in that, I don't think.
Well, let me just tell you now, right? I won't get too emotional about this, but you've just won more than you could have done in your career. So, there's no question about that. But I, in closing, Mickey, I just want to ask you, I want to run through this list of teams. Wrexham, Manchester United, Everton, Brighton, Stoke, Chelsea, West Brom, Derby on loan, Wichita Wings, Shrewsbury, Leeds, Stoke again, twice player of the year at Stoke in two spells, Wrexham, Port Maddock. What's the best diving header that you've ever seen on a football pitch, Mickey?
Probably yours, I think.
Thank you very much.
Get off, Mickey. Honestly, come on. No. That
well,
was
you know
not,
what?
That
well,
was
you know
not
what?
A diving
that
header.
That was not rehearsed.
That was not a diving header. What he did was he tripped over and he was running in the penalty area and the ball hit him in the head.
I think you were in shock yourself. I mean,
you must be joking. Beautiful cross from Steve Sedgley. One of those that you like, Andy, whipped away from the keeper's come and thought, can't get that. And I thought, I can. Keith Houchin, in at the near post.
Was Mickey
in
your team or the other?
He was, well...
I was your sub.
It's very difficult to remember. I know he had the shirt on, but... Michael Thomas, it has been so much fun.
Yes, absolute pleasure.
As well as sobering talking with you. You haven't changed.
And don't.
Whatever else, Mickey, don't.
Don't.
Change, for goodness sake.
Thank you, guys.
And stay healthy, mate. Stay healthy.
Yeah, stay healthy. It's been brilliant. God bless you. We'll stay in touch.
Cheers, Mickey.
Thank you.
Top, see
you, God bless you, guys.
Extraordinary little guy. He really is.
It's brilliant.
Extraordinary little guy.
I haven't spoken to Mickey for years. It's so good to catch up. I'm so pleased he's winning his battle.
Yes. And you're right, because it's an ongoing battle. But how scary when you sat there on your own. And well done, Joey Jones, and another of the guys that I knew around that period of time. As mad as Mickey. Completely mad, the two of them. That's why they got on probably as well as they did. But absolutely terrific to catch up. And that's why I like doing the podcast, Andy, and why I say every week, now that you found us, tell your mates where we are.
It's nice to reintroduce public to these guys again as well.
Yes.
You know, there's obviously loads of people at Manchester United still come across Mickey, but, you know, that wouldn't be the case all over the country. So it's good. It's always good, that.
And stay healthy, Mickey.
Yes, stay healthy.
And thank you again for joining us. That's it for this week. We are available on all of the places you get podcasts. You can tell your mates to ask your smart speaker to play Keys and Grey, the podcast. Andy can do that now as well.
No.
He's not finding us. She's not behaving.
Well, you know, you're supposed to ask it something and it's supposed to do it. Mine kind of doesn't quite get there. A good friend of mine called Luis was supposed to come up to the house and sort it one day.
That's been the case with a number of different women in your life.
They don't listen to me. Yeah, that's fair enough.
Follow us, of course, on Instagram and Twitter at Keys and Grey Pod, and we'll see you next week.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.